I would like to read about 10 verses to you. Instead, I'm just going to read 2 or 3 to introduce the subject about obedience. And so, let's look at this in John chapter 2, first of all. A remarkable thing. John chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was bidden, and his disciples to the marriage. And when the wine failed, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Remember these words. Our Savior's mother gave these instructions. Whatsoever her son, the Lord Jesus, said unto them, do it. Now, turn back to Luke chapter 7. Chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6:46. Our Savior is speaking, and he says, And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You see the contradiction? Lord, Lord, and then no obedience to the Lord. And the Savior wants to know, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I'll read you one scripture in a moment, but now turn to Mark chapter 1. These are essential just to introduce the subject. Mark chapter 1. This is about the leper. And in verse 40, Mark chapter 1 verse 40, it says, There cometh to him a leper, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And being moved with compassion, he stretched forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou made clean. And straightway the leprosy departed from him, and he was made clean. And Jesus strictly charged him, and straightway sent him out, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing the things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to spread abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into a city, but was without in a desert place. And they came to him from every quarter. And I'll quote you a verse from Hebrews. It says concerning our Savior that though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for all that you tell us about your Son in the Word. And we are thankful, but not as much, for the things that you tell us about ourselves in the Word. How different is thy Son from us? We thank you for the enjoyable pictures we see of him, but we must confess that we thank you also for the unpleasant pictures that we see of ourselves. As some have told us about a man looking into a glass and sees something that is not right, but he straightway goes away and forgets what manner of man he saw in the glass. We are so thankful, our Father, that thy Son was one, upon whom gazing there is no improvement and there is no alteration of what we see. We thank you for the perfection of thy Son. And this day we pray that we may be like thy Son. Teach us from the scriptures we've read and the ones that we are to consider, and help us to be obedient children of God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I was reading these passages, and I want to bring to your attention some of the strange commandments that our Lord gives. And yet, if the Lord gives the command, that command is to be obeyed. But I read you only one of them, and the strange command was this. The leper was healed, and our Savior, it says, he sternly charged him, tell no man. And what did he do? He went out and told everybody. Now the Lord says to you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many sinners have you told it to last week? And so the Lord tells one man, tell nobody, and he tells everybody. And he tells us, tell everybody, and whom do we tell? You see, that's how strange it is. But we're going to consider today the thought of obedience and relative obedience. Because at times, there are several things the Lord tells us in His Word, and He expects us to obey them, but in a specific order. We'll see this as we go along. But I want to tell you the classic passage about obedience that's found in the Old Testament, and that is in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when King Saul had been commanded by God to go and destroy their enemies, Agag and his followers. Leave nothing remaining alive. And King Saul and the army of Israel almost did it. But while killing all the people, their enemies, they saved the king alive. And while destroying all their possessions, they picked out the best and the fattest oxen and sheep and other stuff that was the best, but the refuse they destroyed. Now, did they obey God? You say, well, they killed and they destroyed, but they saved. They saved the king and the very best, and yet God had said, destroy everything. So evidently, we are not able to comprehend what God says. If He says destroy everything, our minds say, He does not mean everything. He means save the best of the things. But He said destroy everything. And Saul saved the best of the things. And God said, you're rejected because of this. And listen to what Samuel told King Saul. He said, is it better to do what God says, or is it better to follow your own way and have sacrifices for it? He said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than to offer the fat of rams. Listen again. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams. Now, he did not say that there was anything wrong in offering sacrifices. He did not say there was anything wrong in offering the fat of rams, because he had commanded that. But if he tells us that something is to supersede a commandment that he has given, then even though it seems to us that there should be an alteration in his command, we have disobeyed God when we think that we can improve upon the commands that he gives us. Tell me, what is better than to offer sacrifices to God? What? I see. To obey is better than sacrifice. Who told us to sacrifice? God did. But if he says, this, at this time, is to be more prominent than offering sacrifices, then do you say, no, God, You are wrong. This is more important. To sacrifice is better than obedience. God says to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. And it's something we cannot get through our minds. Christendom does not understand it. And all the churches in the world do not understand it. Because the Lord plainly tells us what should be done and how we should do it. But what happens is this, that instead of doing things the way God tells us to do them, we say they can be improved upon. Understand that when God said, destroy the king and all his soldiers, King Saul said, we will destroy the soldiers, but we'll save the king. That is disobedience. Understand? You say, but he destroyed the soldiers. He said, destroy the king and the soldiers. And if you save the king, that is disobedience. Partial obedience is not obedience. And if he says, destroy all their possessions, and you destroy all their possessions except the best of their possessions, that's not obedience. That is disobedience. And God says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than to offer the fat of rams. And it's a lesson that the children of God have failed to comprehend to this day. He said in remembering him, take bread, take the fruit of the vine, this do in remembrance of me. And this simple remembrance ceremony has been transformed by Christendom into something that is supposed to be magical, something that is supposed to be exalted higher than the heaven. And yet the Lord Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, was sitting down at a dinner table, and he just took some bread and said, take this. And he took the fruit of the vine, and he passed it. He said, drink this. That's how simple it was. And yet men will put on special garments, and they will go through special incantations, and they will expect God to do the miraculous. And the Lord Jesus said, it's bread, and it's the fruit of the vine. Now, eat the bread, drink the fruit of the vine, and remembrance of me. That's what I want you to do. But man cannot believe that that is all that Christ expected them to do. I am impressed by magnificent cathedrals, but I've never read in the Bible where the Lord said, build me magnificent cathedrals. And when we go in these cathedrals and we see the stained glass windows and the arches and we hear the music, why, I'm impressed. But the Lord never told us to do those things that way. And yet, we think that we are making a sacrifice for God. Well, it is not the way that God has told us in his word. And we must ever remember that to obey is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice is good, but obedience is better. You say then, if God is seeking worshipers, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Lord seeketh such to worship him, then God seeking worshipers is the most important thing in the world. No. It says obedience is the most important thing in the world. Because the same God who told us to be baptized, who told us to obey, who told us a variety of things to do, if he tells us something that supersedes those things, first we do the commandment that he gives that exceeds the lesser ones. And having done the first one, then we do the second one. And I'm going to illustrate it for you. The Bible calls not remembering our Savior a forsaking. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. God is seeking worshipers. And so we come and we sit before the Lord and we break bread. But he tells us in the Sermon on the Mount this example. Remember, he's seeking worshipers. He wants worshipers. But here is a man, and sacrifice is the way that they worship God. He is coming to worship God, and he remembers, my brother has something against me. And the Lord Jesus said this, leave your sacrifice at the altar. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy sacrifice. Do you see? If there had been nothing wrong in the man's heart, God's command would be, remember, worship. But if there is something wrong, the Lord says to obey is better than sacrifice. And here is what some have failed to understand. Like at the remembrance meeting, it says, let a man examine himself and let him eat and let him drink. But a man says, I'm unworthy and so I'm not going to drink and eat. That's wrong. What you do is examine yourself first and then you eat and drink. And the man is going to offer the sacrifice. The Lord does not say, disregard offering that sacrifice. But he says, first be reconciled to your brother and then offer your sacrifice. Now, understand the correct interpretation of 1 Samuel 15. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. He does not say, obey and do not sacrifice, but he says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than offering the fat of rams. So, if our souls are in a proper condition, then worship is fine. If we have obeyed God in carrying out in our lives the responsibility he gives us, then worship is the proper thing. Now, here is the slight variation. Had King Saul slain Agag and all the people and destroyed all their possessions and then gone and selected an ox of his own ownership and brought it and offered it to God, it would have all been in order. There would have been nothing wrong. To sacrifice would have been the thing, and there would have been no, to obey is better than sacrifice. But there are some things that we are to obey first, and then we have to do the other things. And that is what Christ is trying to get us to comprehend. He wants us to obey, if we understand correctly, his command. And if we obey his command, all will work out well. If we think that we can improve his plan, then we are disobeying God. Now, there are many who have not understood what Christ told them to do. And having misunderstood what he told them to do, they go about trying to improve it. But once something is plainly set forth, you understand it correctly, there is no contradiction, then, however contrary it seems to your mind, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, let's think of a few things. I've told you one. What is better than worship? Nothing unless there is sin in your soul, and then reconciliation is better than worship. Not when sin is not there. There's nothing better than worship. But if there is sin, then reconciliation is better than worship. What is better than preaching the gospel to every creature? Keeping your mouth shut. You say, how could that be? Because the Lord said it. Here is a leper. He has come to the Lord Jesus, and he said, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord Jesus, being moved with compassion, touched him and said, I will, be thou made clean. And immediately he was made clean. Now think, if you have incurable leprosy and God's Son is gracious and merciful enough to heal you, is it not in order if he asks you to do one thing, to do what he tells you to do? You say, yes. Well, the Lord, having healed this leper, said to him, I do not want you to tell anybody. You say, but he can't mean that. That's what a dear lady told me. I can remember it about 30 or 40 years ago. I was telling her that the Bible said, in the church, let the women keep silence. And do you know what this dear lady said? Jesus couldn't have meant that. She knew he couldn't have meant that. She said, my heart is just filled and I've got to stand up and I've got to preach. Let me ask you, when the Savior said to this leper that had been cleansed, tell nobody. Do you think he meant it? Some would say, he couldn't mean it. I know he couldn't mean it. Well then, there is no way for you to ever be an obedient servant, and you will be one like I read to you in the Gospel of Luke, and you say, Lord, Lord, and then you go and do the things the way you want to do them. You see that contradiction? Lord, Lord, and the Savior said, well, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you to do? What is your answer? If you say, subject, you are inferior to me, O my subject, and then do what you want to do, that's one thing. But for you to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and then to disobey him, that is the contradiction. If he is Lord, then he is your superior. You are his inferior. He tells you what to do. If he is Lord, he is wiser than you are. You have less wisdom than he does. And you are to do what the Lord tells you to do. The Savior, after he had used Peter's boat to preach in, the Savior said to him, let out into the deep, throw out your net, and we'll take a draft for the fishes. And Peter said to him, Lord, we've labored all night long, and we've caught nothing. This isn't complete disobedience. I mentioned this in the past. It isn't complete disobedience, but he said, it's futile. But you told me to do it, I'm going to do it. And he let down his net, and there was a great gulf of fishes, a multitude of fishes engulfed in the net, and there were so many, he had to call his partners. You see? At first, he thought that his Lord, Lord, that told him to let down the nets for a draft of fishes, that he did not know what instructions he was giving. And he would have disregarded it. Had the Lord said, now, if you want to, if you think that there are fishes there, go ahead and let down your nets for the fishes. Peter would have said, we've toiled all night, and it's useless. We're not going to do it. But you have said, let down the nets for a draft of fishes. I'm going to do it. And he let down the nets, and there was a great multitude of fishes engulfed in the nets. You see? To obey is better than thinking you know what is better than the Lord tells you to do. So here is this woman, when the Lord says in the Bible, let the women keep silence in the church. The woman said, Jesus couldn't command that. And inasmuch as the Lord says, go and preach the gospel to every creature, this leper knows that Jesus cannot mean for him to remain silent. But Jesus did mean for him to remain silent. There are reasons that God alone knows, and when he gives those commands, he does not always give the reasons of those commands. But I believe that God is all wise, and for that reason, if I find it, in the Word, and I understand it correctly, then by God's grace, I am going to obey, even though it seems to me that I could do something better than he has suggested in his Word. All right, keep this in mind. This is what he wanted him to do. He wanted him first to go and carry out the ceremony found in Leviticus about the cleansing of the leper. But instead, he wanted to go and preach before he carried out the ceremony. There was nothing wrong with him telling anybody, but he wanted him first go and offer the cleansing of Moses, and that would tell everybody. Do you realize that never in the history of Israel, and there is an elaborate ritual that the leper goes through when he's cleansed, in the Old Testament, never had a priest carried out that ritual for any leper that had ever been cleansed. Think of that. There was Naaman the leper that was cleansed. You have examples like that. But Naaman the leper did not go to the priest. And because of that, here is a leper that is cleansed, and this Christ-rejecting nation of Israel would suddenly have a man that was a leper. And the leper presents himself to the priest cleansed. And what could they say? They would say, you were a leper. We heard you cry out, unclean, unclean. We saw your lip covered. We understand this. You were a leper. What has happened? And then the leper would say, Jesus cleansed me. That was the one he was to tell first. And having gone through the ceremony, all the priests in Israel would know that leprosy for the first time had been cured, and an Israelite had offered himself to carry out the ceremony of the cleansing of the leper. that would have been the loudest, that would have been the strongest testimony that could possibly have been given. But we are never told that that leper went and had himself cleansed. If he did, good. But he had things in a disorderly way, and the Lord said, first your cleansing, and after that, you have told about my cleansing you. Now, think of this. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, concerning the wives, here are wives that have been telling their unsaved husbands the way of salvation, preaching to them, and that's in order. It's quite in order for a woman that is not in the church to tell all of those she knows the way of salvation, perfectly in order. And so here is this wife that has been telling her husband, but her preaching has not won him to the Lord. And so Peter says this, if they can't be word one with the word, then win them without the word by your behavior. You see? So here is a woman that has been preaching, and her husband would not believe. And so Peter says, now, do not tell him. Show him. Here is this leper. He's going and telling everybody about somebody that healed him. That hadn't been validated. You realize that if a leper said he was cleansed, he was not cleansed. He had to go, and the priest alone could examine that man and say, you're clean. If he said it, it meant nothing. The priest had to say it. But when the leper, whom Christ had cleansed, had he gone to the priest and shown in his body, then the priest of necessity must pronounce him clean. And then what did the nation of Israel say? They would have to say, a mighty prophet has arisen, one who is able to work miracles, one who is able to cleanse lepers. And that would have been the strongest testimony that could have been given. But instead, here is this leper running around saying, I'm cleansed. And the others that had known him did not know that. But if the high priest said he was cleansed, then he had to be accepted by the nation of Israel and be cleansed. And not only that, before he could be accepted and come back to his family, he had to go through this elaborate ceremony, and he had not done that. So, here we are today, and God tells us simple things to do in his word, and we say, I'm so filled with the Spirit, I'm so filled with zeal, I've got to go without obeying you, I've got to first go and tell. This is what the Lord says. He says, go show yourselves unto the priest and offer the sacrifice prescribed by Moses. But he was not willing to do it. Here are some of the examples of those that disobey the Lord, and yet they think they are doing better by obeying the Lord. This is what the outcome was. The Lord had his plan of what villages he was going to preach in, and where in Israel he was going to preach. But once this leper went and told everybody what had been done, then they evidently believed him, because it says they came to him in multitudes, and the Lord had to retreat and hide from him. Isn't that a contradiction? His brothers couldn't understand it. The Lord Jesus was going to the feast at Jerusalem, but he was going at the time that he knew best. But his brother said to him, what is the matter with you? Can't you reason at all? There's nobody that wants to be known, that wants to be made public and keeps everything in secret. Go up to the feast. The Lord Jesus said, I'm not yet going up to the feast. You go up to the feast. Your time is always. My time is not yet come. They were unable to understand the strange behavior of the Lord. And yet the Savior said this, that my Father wakens my ear. Every morning he wakens my ear and he tells me what to do. And the Father had said to him, don't go to the feast yet. It's not the time. I'll tell you when to go. And so the Lord Jesus stayed back. Remember, the Lord Jesus always did what his Father told him to do. Think now, all of you who want to succeed in life. If you were only going to live 33 years, do you think that the first 30 years of the 33 years should be spent in an obscure, despised village named Nazareth, and you should labor as a carpenter? You're brilliant. you have promised, and you are commanded to stay and work as a carpenter in an obscure, despised city named Nazareth. Don't you know better than that? I know Jesus could have said to his father, you don't know what you're doing. I can teach for 30 years, not 33 years. Why, as a child, I know more than all of those that are teaching me. But his father said, I want you to stay in Nazareth. I want you to work as a carpenter for 30 years. And I'll tell you when I want you to go and present yourself to Israel. Now listen to what God says concerning his son. It says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. His father said, 30 years in Nazareth. The Lord Jesus said, yes, Father. The father said, I want you to remain in obscurity and just to preach here and there. Yes, Father. And so what the father had told the Lord Jesus to tell the leper, the Lord Jesus obeyed and told the leper. And yet the leper disobeyed, even though he had received the greatest blessing from the Lord Jesus. You see, you're always trying to improve on what the Lord tells you to do, and Satan at times is behind it. You say, how can that be? I tell you that it's not only our natural bent, but Satan is behind it. What greater command does the Lord Jesus have than to come from heaven and go to the cross and die for your sins? You say, nothing greater than that. Unless the Lord Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins, why, there's no hope of salvation. Why? And so the Lord Jesus told his disciples, I have to go to Jerusalem, and I have to be rejected and crucified and spat upon, and to be raised the third day. And Satan entered into Simon Peter, and he said, tell Jesus this. Tell him not to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. And so Peter said to him, Lord, be it far from you to be crucified. This be far from you. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You do not understand the things of God, but the things that be of men. You see, Peter knew he could improve upon the Lord's plan, and you do too. But the Lord Jesus was the Lamb of God that was sent to take away the sin of the world. And the Lord Jesus, when Satan would say, do not go and down the cross to take away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus rejected that suggestion, and he had to correct Peter and embarrass him in the presence of all that were listening. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? If you were trying to show compassion and sympathy to somebody who said, I have to go and die, and you would say, well, I have a tender heart. Don't go and die. Let this never happen to you. And the man turns on you and says, you are Satan. You are Satan's voice. What would you think of that? It would be startling. And remember, anything that God has said in his word, and you would contradict what he says in his word, what do you think the source of your contradiction is? You say, well, it's either my own thinking, yes, or it is Satan that is influencing my thinking. And that's the sad thing. And what did Mary say? The Lord Jesus was the one who could meet the need when the wine gave out at the feast. Think of this now. You have a marriage, and either because of poverty or lack of preparation, there is not enough refreshment to go around. It's all run out. How sad. A wedding that is to be a time of merriment and joy, and the only thing that you could remember. And if it were the groom's fault, yes, I remember the wedding. We had all these guests, and only half enough wine was brought. I remember my husband and the way that he lacked, or it could have been the woman that failed to provide. It may have been. It may have been poverty. But whatever it was, that would be remembered. And so Mary knew that her son had things under control, and he could do things. But she goes and she says, they've run out of wine. And the woman said, and the Savior said, woman, what is that to thee? Mine hour is not yet come. You see? He said, my hour is not yet come. But they're out of wine. The Lord Jesus said, they'll have to wait for wine until my time has come. And thank God for Mary in this respect. When she heard these words from her son, she turned to the servants and she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's the command from Mary. Do not do what I tell you to do, but what my son tells you to do, do it. And then, ever so short a time afterwards, the Lord Jesus told them how to turn the water into wine. And Mary had said, whatever my son says to do, do it. And the word of God says to you, to obey is better than sacrifice. What God tells you to do, do it. Now, Mary said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And they obeyed. And God said to his son, I want you to learn obedience. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to do it. And yet, here are servants that do what they're told. And here is the Son of God who does what he's told. And what do you do? What you want to do. And so do I. Save on rare occasions. But what God has told us to do, he intends us to do. He has thought it out. There are some who say, well, the Bible is such an ancient book. He cannot expect us today to do what he told them to do long ago. The Bible is an inspired book. And God, in his omniscience, has anticipated every emergency that can arise. And he has given us precedents and examples from his word that will cover every situation that can ever arise. Specific examples or precedents, and considering these things, we will know what to do. And God's word is the book that is to be obeyed. You understand? That you cannot begin to be a child of God unless you're obedient. You say, why? I thought obedience, no, you have to obey. God commanded men everywhere to repent. God says, repent. And if you obey, then you become a child of God. But if you do not obey, then you do not become a child of God. No obedience, no new birth. And man says, there must be some other way other than obedience. It's the only way. God sets forth his plan of salvation, and you accept that plan. And when you accept that plan, you are obedient to the God who has told you the way of salvation. And man cannot see that. He says, it cannot be by grace through faith, but it is. Man says to God, I have to do something. God says, yes, obey me. Well, good, what do I have to do? He says, believe on my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. All right, I'll believe on him, but there must be something else I have to do. Believe on my son. That is my command. And God commandeth man everywhere to repent and to trust his son, and man will not obey God. So, sinners do not obey God, and they remain lost, and Christians do not obey God, and they cause the Savior to say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Now, you, can you give Christ an answer? Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we confess that we are without excuse when we've acknowledged you as Lord, confess you as all-wise, all-loving, all-powerful, and then you tell us what we should do, and we seek to improve upon your command. Forgive our presumption, our God, and let us believe that thou art wise and true, and that you know what you are doing, and that we know not what we are doing, other than the advice that you give us from your word. So let us trust in thy word, and let us be those who say, Lord, Lord, and then, yes, Lord, and let us do your commandments. Let us be obedient creatures of God and obedient children of God. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.